98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Yeah, could I have a number three with cheese and a large coffee?
Man, does this smell good.
Wolfen down your lunch. Serving up today's top sports stories with Wolfen Luke.
See, boys. Yep, lunchtime on this Thursday. It's time for Wolfen down your lunch. Aaron Maloney is here with today's top stories. Aaron?
So the Arizona Cardinals are gearing up to face the Bears on Sunday in Chicago. Here's Isaiah Simmons with how they're approaching this matchup.
Honestly, I don't really feel like we've had to. I mean, it's been said a few times, but I don't. You know, you can have that feeling when you think people are kind of looking on to the next week, and I don't feel that. I feel like everybody is just really locked in to, you know, who we got this week and what we got coming in front of us. Maybe because we came off a bye week, but I think everybody's just really, really excited just to get back out there this week.
Our Sanderson Ford poll question is up now at ArizonaSports.com, and it asks, what do you want to see most from the Cardinals on Sunday in Chicago? Your choices: to stay injury-free, stop the Bears' rushing attack, limit chunk plays, or Kyler to get back in rhythm with the offense.
It's either the first or the fourth for me.
Kyler to get back in rhythm with the offense right there. That's kind of an easy decision if you're going to just represent those four questions. I would say there's no doubt about it, man. Kyler to get back in rhythm with the offense. Because if that happens, everything else will take care of itself.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that one too, because you're 9-2 right now. And if Kyler and the offense get back in rhythm, you have the best record right now. You've earned the title of best team going into December, but if he comes back and gets into rhythm with the offense, you are also the most dangerous team, I think.
So 63% agree with you guys, Kyler to get back in rhythm with the offense. 30% say to stay injury-free. 5% stop the Bears' rushing attack. And then 3% limit chunk plays. The Phoenix Suns look to extend their win streak to 18 straight games tonight as they host the Pistons for a 7 o'clock tip-off on 98.7 FM. Here's Colin Cowherd from yesterday. He was kind of looking at the Lakers and the Suns.
There is a responsibility we have to not try to sell you nonsense. That when the big brands are great, it's good and we like it. But when they're not great, I'm not going to try to pretend they're great. And I'm watching the Phoenix Suns last night. They would sweep the Lakers in four games if all four games were played in Los Angeles. The Lakers will not catch the Phoenix Suns for the next half decade.
You heard it there first, guys.
Wow.
Your reaction to that?
It's refreshing to hear somebody nationally look and say, wait, Phoenix is considerably better than the Lakers right now. Now, it's the Lakers. They always find ways to reload through free agency or forcing a trade or something. So I don't know about the next half decade, but if you want to put the Suns and Lakers in the best of seven right now, I'll put all my money on the Suns. Maybe not a sweep, but all my money on the Suns right now, because the Lakers don't fit together.
Listening to Colin right there just makes me think that he believes LeBron James is done. The dominance is over.
See, I don't believe that.
See, I think that's what he's basically saying, that it doesn't matter. Even with LeBron James in L.A. for the next half decade, not going to catch the Suns.
I think that's why I wouldn't say a sweep. I think in a best of seven, LeBron's always dangerous.
Sweep maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
Sweep is, I'm not talking about that. The entire thing that I just heard Colin Cowherd say, to me it says LeBron is done.
That's interesting, because I don't think he's done.
Major League Baseball locked out its players early Thursday morning, certifying the game's first work stoppage in more than a quarter century after months of talks yielded little progress toward a new labor contract. Here's ESPN's Buster Olney.
There is real pessimism about how long this is going to last. One agent reached out to me and said that he texted his clients and basically said, look, Happy New Year. Happy Easter. I'll see you around Flag Day. Okay. And the question now is about the bleeding. On the owner's side, they're not going to be able to sell tickets. And on the player side, whenever this is resolved, the people are going to pay the price. The middle class free agents, they are absolutely going to get wrecked.
Your reaction to what's going on?
It's that stuff. And I'm not blaming Buster Olney. He's doing his job. But it's the, oh, we're miles apart. Oh, there's such pessimism. Oh, a deal will never get done. Like, I don't understand. Are you trying to get the fans to feel bad for you? Are you trying to get your baseball fans, in the time when baseball needs to be careful with their fans, are you trying to get them to stress out about it? Like, you're basically, I know that's not the intention, But in a way, you're kind of holding your fans hostage, especially when you go out there like, well, this may never get done because the other side is so evil.
You know what I think? I think the pandemic, of course, and the fact that baseball's revenue went from $10.37 million to $3.66 billion, I should say. Billion with a B. $10.37 billion to $3.66 billion. I think that is going to dictate the fact that the owners aren't going to dig their heels in on this one because they can't, because they really want to go ahead and get some type of salary cap, yet they're not even talking about a salary cap. That tells me this is going to get done at some point in time before spring training.
That's the other thing. It's going to get done unless you want me to believe baseball is not a sport anymore because the CBA ran out. So if it's going to get done, just... like, stop playing it out through the media, and whatever you're going to do in April at the last second, how about you just do it, like, now?
Forget about the PR. Just let it go. Yet that'll never happen.
No,
Jason,
it will not.
Ever.
ASU men's basketball scored a record low 29 points in their loss to Washington State last night. So what happened? Here's head coach Bobby Hurley.
I'll give credit to Washington State's defense. I thought it was outstanding. That being said, it was disappointing for us on offense. Have had a lot of teams here that could put some points on the board, and tonight this was as ineffective, an offensive performance as I've been a part of, maybe ever, as a player and a coach. So it's disappointed, epically bad, and we got to figure out how to do better.
What were your thoughts when you saw that score?
Maybe we just shouldn't play Washington State in sports anymore, because that football game this year was the one that was like you just turned it off too. I looked up at one point and there were 11 minutes left in the second half and they had, I think, 16 points. And I did like a triple take thinking that must be 11 minutes left in the first half, right? Did they restructure how college basketball games are played? How do you score 29 points in an entire college basketball game?
Can I just go ahead and read you something, Basinonians, from read you something from
hopefully
my website
about this game.
Right here? They said, quote, the two teams at halftime combined for 11 missed free throws. 11 missed free throws.
Do you think you could make 11?
And now, wait a minute. Oh, my goodness. I did not expect this dive bomb.
Wow. Well, you opened yourself up to
it. I could make 11.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm saying I can't. So.
Okay.
You'd make some of them, though. I feel like we did some of the free throws.
Let me get my point out, Mel. They combined for 18 turnovers, and that added up 11 missed free throws and 18 turnovers to 29, which is more than their combined point total of 28. Stop and think, Bob. That's from our website. That is well done.
The worst part last night is there was that NC State-Nebraska game, and it went four overtimes, but the score was 104 to 100, and I saw the score, and I was like, wow, I wonder what that's like, scoring.
Bobby Hurley afterwards, I love the quote where he said, it's a lonely feeling. It's a sad feeling. Just knowing Bobby, the competitor that he is, I absolutely love and respect him for the coach he is, for the competitor that he is. To hear him say, it's a lonely feeling. It's a sad feeling. The play sheet got a lot of work today.
Okay. Yeah, that was depressing. That was wolfing down your lunch, though. Thank you, Aaron. When we come back, the latest on Devin Booker's injury and how exactly are the Suns going to navigate the games he has to miss. That's next. It's Wolf and Luke, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Fullback and the Thinback. Wolf and Luke middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Suns, Pistons tonight. Of course, Phoenix going for consecutive win number 18, which would be the franchise record right now. They're tied. 18 straight wins. You said it earlier. That's almost a quarter of the season. And we're just gonna for a quarter of the season, we're gonna do nothing but win every game.
Yes.
Going to put you in a pretty good spot.
Do you remember Crocodile Dundee? Do you remember that?
Did not expect this
Crocodile Dundee, though, where he took out the knife and somebody somebody pulled a knife on him. He was from the Outback.
I have seen this scene. Yes.
Oh, so you've seen that?
I haven't seen the movie.
Mugged. He pulls a knife on him, and it's this, you know, this little spike, whatever. And he says, "That's not a knife." Now this, and he pulls out the David Bowie knife. Now that's a knife. He said it much better than I could have said.
You couldn't get to your Australian roots.
Yes. So. Go ahead. Just continue.
All right. So this is James Jones on with Burns and Gambo yesterday, giving an injury update on Devin Booker. Because here's the thing. None of us are worried about the Suns over the next, you know, week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is, if Booker's not going to play. But you are going to have to replace about 23 points a game in addition to everything else he does. So this is James Jones.
That, you know, we're still evaluating it, but it looks like he'll be down for a little bit. How long? I don't expect for long, but a few games. Is accurate, but he had some soreness last night. You saw him side on the court. If this were the finals, if this were the playoffs, he'd be back out there doing it again. So we're fortunate that it wasn't anything major, and he's going to get back to work, and we'll have him back soon, hopefully.
Wolf, I'll stand by this. I know I mentioned it quickly yesterday towards the end of the show. You got to be smart with Devin Booker. They're going to be smart with Devin Booker. You're 18-3. You're playing for a championship. So if he's got to miss 2 or 3 weeks here and you know whatever, you're not going to rush him back with a hamstring issue. But I really hope he's back for the Christmas Day game against the Warriors.
No, that would be great, no doubt. But just listening to James Jones right there, it makes it sound like this was a strained ham. This was a minor hamstring. It wasn't a pulled ham, a bad hamstring pull. He just tweaked it. If, in fact, you're talking about 3 games, maybe missing a few games right there, you know, you're talking about 2 weeks, maybe 10 days. You know what? Maybe, hopefully, he just tweaked that thing.
He's had hamstring issues in the past, though, which that doesn't necessarily mean that will play into it now going forward. But I think you got to be a little extra cautious with this one because you can, because again, you're 18-3.
Some guys that are just more prone to pulling their ham as well. I was one of those guys. Happened to me all the time. Okay, not all the time. I'm embellishing right here, but
sounds painful.
Over the course of 10 years, yeah, there's no doubt about it. A pulled hamstring was my nemesis. That and a groin. Those two right there really struggled with that. Some guys are just more susceptible to those, and I think D-Book is, especially when you look at his record.
Well, you are replacing 23.2 points per game. And again, anybody that watches the Suns knows it's a lot more than that. It's not just the points. It's everything else Devin Booker does. It's the potential that he could just go off for 40 on any given night, in addition to just being one of, if not the main leader still on this team. So, Burns and Gambo asked James Jones who he anticipates starting in place of Devin Booker. How are you going to replace D-Book?
Man, honestly, I can't anticipate anything. You know, that's a coaching decision, and that's more of a team decision. You know, you look at our team's depth. You know, a lot happens between now and tomorrow and now and Friday. I just trust coach and the team to do whatever is best for us to position ourselves to win.
What would you like to see? Would you like to see Cam Johnson actually moved into that position right there? Like Cam Johnson?
I wouldn't hate that. You know, the one that's kind of interesting to me, he hasn't played much of, I shouldn't say that, he's played a role, but not a huge role. He's new to the team, is Landry Shamet. I don't know if we're going to see his minutes go up. We're going to have Kevin Ray on, of course, because it's game day with K-Ray later on in the show. I'm going to ask him about this, too. I think, you know, you're looking at replacing, if you're just looking at, okay, how do we replace Devin Booker's points, that's probably spread out over 5 or 6 or 7 guys, because the one thing that the Suns don't have to worry about in a situation like this is their depth being tested. A lot of teams, you know, you lose your best player. It's going to hurt every team, but then you look at your bench and you're like, okay, how are we going to do this? The Suns have so much depth right now. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think Landry Shamet, for the most part, is probably the most likely to get a lot of those minutes right there. But again,
he's not going to give you 23 points a game.
He's not going to do that. There's no doubt about it. But again, I don't see this as an absolute negative. I don't. The same way that I didn't feel like Colt McCoy playing and playing well was a negative with the Arizona Cardinals. I didn't see it that way because in the big picture, the big grand scheme of things, if in fact you can look back and say, hey, listen, just because our best player or one of our best players went down, it doesn't mean we're doomed by any stretch of the imagination. And I think the Suns have already proved that to themselves based on the fact that Devin Booker went down midway through the second quarter against the best team in the association, and they still went out and beat him. It's just, it's not the worst thing that can happen to a team, and it teaches a team you're never out of it, regardless of who you're going to lose. And I think that's an important lesson for any good team to learn.
The Shamet thing is interesting because he was on Brooklyn last year, and there was a stretch where they were playing, I think, without all three guys, if I remember right. I don't think they had Kyrie, Harden, or Durant. They may have had one of them. But there was a stretch there in April where he was putting up 19 points, 17, 20, 30, 18. Like, he can score if the game dictates it. But that was a different setup on that team. That was really a top-heavy, like, three-guy team with some pieces around it. The Suns, I think, are a lot more just deep, just across the board. And you know, like you said, I think Shamet's going to see a bump in minutes. I don't necessarily think they're going to say to him, okay, you've got to be Devin Booker, because that's not fair. Mm-hmm. I think that we're going to see the offensive production spread out, but we're going to see probably him and a couple other guys get more minutes. But, you know, to your point, this doesn't have to be the worst thing in the world, because we view the Suns through a different lens now. If this was a couple years ago, it would be the worst thing, because you'd be like, great, Booker's going to miss a few weeks. What's the point of watching this team right now? They're 3-18. But now, obviously, big picture, you're trying to get back and win a title. And so navigate this without Devin Booker.
Yeah.
Monty Williams, go ahead and tinker with some stuff. See, maybe you find something in the next week or two that you can implement towards the end of the season as like a little extra jolt for the team.
You know, what's interesting about it, of course, against the Warriors, Cam Johnson was a guy that had the vast majority of minutes. Once Devin Booker went down,
yeah,
Cam Johnson seemed like the guy that was replacing him. Now, of course, you're talking about a forward playing the two for the most part, but that's the one thing about what Monty Williams does. He mixes and matches so well with his lineup. You want to go small, they're going to be able to go small. You want to go small with DA as the one big that you have in there, he does a great job with the rotation for the most part. So whatever it is, I'm not concerned. I really am not. This is the weird thing about it. This is a good thing, I think. Devin Booker getting a little bit of rest right here. Very similar. I'm sorry. It's so similar to Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals and him getting some rest in a 17-game season, 18-week season in the National Football League that, you know what, you miss three games in the middle of the season. That's not necessarily the worst thing that could happen to a good team. I feel the same way about D-Book and the Suns.
The Kyler Murray thing, I was thinking about this driving in today, and we don't know what 17-game seasons, what the norm's going to become. But I'm looking around the league, and like every team's running back is hurt except Jonathan Taylor, or has been hurt. You know what
oh,
I mean?
Goodness.
And I know it's different with a quarterback because you're not getting hit as much, but sometimes you're getting hit more awkwardly. I get all that, but I do just wonder if 3 or 4 years from now, the norm for a 17-game season is that your quarterback plays 15 games or something. Like, this might not be that far off a successful recipe for the Cardinals, even though it wasn't intentional. You know, assuming he comes back this week. Again, all bets are off. If he's not playing this week, then it's like, all right, now there's an issue. Text us your thoughts on the Suns going for 18 in a row tonight to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. We come back. The Cardinals appear to be healthier, and we'll get into what this means for the team, not just this week, but going forward now for the final six games of the regular season and beyond. It's Wolf and Luke on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
This is J.J. Watt, and you're listening to 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
There you go. We the
boys. J.J.'s J.J. He's obviously a proven NFL guy.
J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones, like I said, two of the best defensive players to really ever play in the NFL.
Oh, I think the fit is fantastic.
You know, the stories about him are pretty legendary.
Wolf and Luke talk Cardinals now.
The Cardinals appear to be getting healthier heading into this game against Chicago. Wolf, seven guys on the injury list yesterday, and two of them were non-injury related. Kelvin Beachum and Rodney Hudson, just kind of a Veterans Day off on a Wednesday. But Justin Pugh didn't practice. This is yesterday. DeAndre Hopkins, Kyler Murray, James Wiggins, all limited. Max Garcia, full with that knee issue. Last week at this time, there was, what was it, 17 guys?
17.
Going into the last recent game they played, so I guess 2 weeks ago. But yeah, 17 guys on the injury report. How about this? I'm going to throw this out there. This is Ian Rappaport on the Pat McAfee show this morning, talking about a guy that's not showing up on injury reports, obviously, because a lot of people believe he's done for the year. But how about listening to Ian Rappaport right here talking about J.J. Watt potentially coming back at some point?
It is crazy because he had all of the things wrong with his shoulder. I mean, it wasn't just labrum. It was labrum. It was rotator. It was a lot of things. And it is possible that he comes back before the Super Bowl. I mean, obviously, it's the longest season ever. It still feels like the season's been 35 weeks old already. But there is a realistic chance that he comes back before the Super Bowl or maybe before the title game. And, like, again, for any other player, this would be ridiculous, but Watt has literally done this before.
Superhuman.
He did it with the Texans where he came back when no one thought he had a chance from a...
He's J.J. Watt.
He's J.J. from a bad shoulder injury. So, like, yeah, I think there's a chance we see him if they keep winning.
Who was talking over Adam Schefter?
No, it was Ian Rappaport. I think it was Pat McAfee that just kept jumping in.
Wrong He's insider, J.J. Wolf.
I mean... Well, who was it? Who's the?
It was Rappaport.
It was Rappaport. Okay, great. I don't know these guys, ladies and gentlemen. That's just so weird. Somebody's actually talking
he's
over.
He's J.J. Watt.
He's whispering as he's. You know, that was weird.
I want to play that clip of
J.J.
that whisper
Watt,
if he comes back.
You know what?
Back.
Honestly, it'd be great if he was able to come back. Let's worry about that problem when we get there. Right now, to me, as far as I'm concerned, I look at the game coming up against the Chicago Bears. And, yeah, Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. Everyone's worried about that. I'm not too worried about that. I think they're both playing. This is just me, okay? Granted, nobody's told me this. I think they're both playing. Have I said that? Kyler Murray, did I expect him to play in Seattle? Yes. Did I expect D-Hop to play in Seattle? Yes. I don't care. Truth be told. Yet at the same time, there's no way Kyler Murray's going to miss the game in Chicago, right? There's no way DeAndre Hopkins is going to miss the game in Chicago. What happened to the hamstring unless he goes out there and yanks it again? There's no way that's going to happen. Having said that, I expect them to play.
They're hopeful.
The question that I have is more on the line of scrimmage than anything else. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you right now, the Chicago Bears can run the football. They can run the football with David Montgomery, 5'10", 225, take the spot above his eyebrows and stick it on the spot below your lips and light you up. It's what he does. They can run the football, and in particular, between the tackles. They're pretty good at it. As a matter of fact, it's the only way they're going to threaten the Arizona Cardinals, in my opinion, is on the ground running the ball. In a gross simplification of the truth. Yet that's what I think they're able to do. The other thing they do well is they rush the passer. They get after you. I'm looking at the line of scrimmage on both sides. You got Justin Pugh. Is he going to play? That's a big if right there because you got to protect Kyler Murray. If he's going to play, which I think he is, you got to protect him. Justin Pugh helps you do that. Max Garcia is a guy that also could get some reps on Sunday. Is he going to be okay? And oh, by the way, Rashard Lawrence, defensive tackle, who has missed a lot of time this year, Rashard Lawrence, he would help stopping David Montgomery and the Chicago Bears. I'm more worried, Luke, about the line of scrimmage in this game.
Well, Lawrence, it does sound like there's a pretty good chance he'll be back, right? Isn't he coming off IR?
Yes, it sounds like that, but again, you never know until it happens.
Well, this is, you mentioned Justin Pugh. This is Cliff Kingsbury talking about Justin Pugh and when they're going to make a decision on him.
He's going to be game time. You know, he's felt better and he's progressed, but he's not out there yet practicing, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, you know, you said something in there that in Chicago, there's really only one or two ways Chicago can win this game realistically. And it goes back to this is how I view sports a lot of times. If I'm trying to pick who's going to win a game or just trying to kind of get a sense of, you know, who's got a, how favored the favorite should be. Let's say when a team only has like one or two ways they can win and the other team has like a dozen. And I feel like that's the matchup this week, man, you're at a huge advantage, but you got to figure out a way to, if you can eliminate those one or two ways, you're in a great spot. And I'm with you. Unless David Montgomery goes off, or is it Khalil Herbert, the guy out of Virginia Tech, if he goes off, I mean, Kyler Murray needs to play, but I think the Cardinals could win this game with Colt McCoy if they had to.
Here's the whole thing about the Chicago Bears. The Bears need to get to you. They need to get to your quarterback before he throws the ball. It's that simple. The Chicago Bears have a defensive quarterback rating of number 28 in the National Football League. They allow a quarterback rating of 101.3, Basin Ernians. That's what they allow.
That's not great for a defense.
That's not great for a defense in any way, shape, or form. And again, now that you don't have Khalil Mack out there as well, that's an issue. But having said that, the Arizona Cardinals, number one in the National Football League in quarterback rating. Now, again, I need to say this. Every time I talk about quarterback rating, I have to say it, but it's the truth. It's not the end-all, be-all, ladies and gentlemen, but it's an excellent metric year in and year out. Go ahead and look at the top 10 names. They're the best quarterbacks typically in the league who appear there. That tells me it's a reliable metric to point to and say, aha. Which also, when you flip it over, the defensive quarterback rating means an awful lot as well. The Cardinals are number one in the National Football League in quarterback rating with Kyler Murray and Colt McCoy playing quarterback. Number one. And they're number 28 defensive quarterback rating. So that tells me if you get the ball, if you can get the quarterback in a pocket and protect him, he's going to complete passes.
On the other side of the football for the Cardinals, just in terms of DeAndre Hopkins, so I guess maybe not the other side, on the offensive side, staying there with DeAndre Hopkins, Cliff Kingsbury was asked, what is D-Hop at 80% like compared to the rest of the league?
I mean, I think pretty good. I mean, he was out there against Green Bay running around on one leg making catches, so I think he's a special talent, and if he can go, he'll give us what he's got.
So this one's kind of intriguing to me. They asked Cliff Kingsbury, is weather going to play into the decision on Hopkins?
I don't think weather as much as just the time he's been off task. We just got to be smart with how we use him if he's able to go. You know, maximize him as best we can, but make sure we don't wear him out.
See, so I do wonder if we're going to see a scenario play out where, like, okay, Kyler can play, he's going to play. He's your quarterback, he's playing the whole game. He's been, you know, it seems like they were maybe a little extra cautious with him. They did that, they survived being extra cautious, and now he's back, he's good to go. I wonder if DeAndre Hopkins maybe does play, but doesn't play as much as normal. Which, I mean, if he's got his helmet and his equipment, you have to be worried he may just run right out there on the field anyway. But in general, I do wonder if he's not going to see his normal workload.
Yeah. I just, once again, it's a daily occurrence here on the Wolf and Luke Show, based on these, but I just went ahead and Googled Chicago weather. Are you ready for this one right here?
Yeah.
Here we go. 48 degrees. That's going to be the high.
Okay.
The low is going to be 29 degrees.
That's cold.
And now all of a sudden there is a 75% chance of rain with 16 mile per hour steady winds.
It's not going to be fun.
Oh, my goodness. So you know what? Immediately, I think, man, this is James Conner. This has got James Conner written all over it. And the one thing, too, this is the one thing you don't want to do when you come back from a hammy is get that thing cold and wet.
Yeah, see, so how much, that's why I wonder about Hopkins. Do you run him out there for a couple plays? You've got other receivers.
Yeah, you know, again, football players play games. When they're healthy, this is what they do. They play football games. But, man, that'd be something to watch right there. That is a cold, cold rain.
And he could go out there.
Oh, yeah, you could tweak that thing easy.
He could play, I don't know, you could target him five times in the first half. He may come down with two touchdowns and just be like, all right, you know, we're up. We should have enough pieces to hold on to this lead over Chicago. We'll see you Monday night, D.
All I can think of is James Conner. I continue to think of it right now. And why is it so important that the Arizona Cardinals can run the ball? Here they are in December. Are you kidding me? Going on the road to play the Chicago Bears. This is the reason why you want to be capable, Basinonians, of doing anything you need to do to beat your opponent.
Attention, Cardinals fans, we are issuing a code red all next week as the division rival LA Rams invade State Farm Stadium for Monday Night Football December 13th. So text red to 620-620 and list it for your name, 7:30, 12:30, and 4:30 next week, and you'll win two tickets to see the Cardinals take on the Rams. That's red to 620-620. When we come back, the Suns going for that franchise record 18th straight win tonight against Detroit. We'll preview the game with Suns TV broadcaster for Bally Sports, K-Ray, Kevin Ray. It's a game day with K-Ray next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Catch it in from the corner.
Wolf and Luke.
Brings the boom. And catching bodies on his way to the rack.
Suns, game day with K-Ray.
I'm ready for whatever.
Yeah, it's game day. Maybe doesn't quite have the hype of going up against Golden State, but it has a different kind of hype as Kevin Ray of Bally Sports joins us right now on the 72 Sold Sports Line for game day with K-Ray. This one has a different hype of going for the franchise record 18th consecutive win. K-Ray, when you hear that number, what stands out to you about what the Suns have accomplished? I know it's still early in the season. We're just getting into the second quarter of the season, but this is pretty impressive.
Well, it really is, Luke. I mean, when you consider and look at the teams throughout NBA history who have reeled off this many wins, I mean, it really does put you in some quite elite company. And it just speaks to, I think for this team, the phrase, just this kind of the steady, steely resolve that they have.
You know, K-Ray, when you look at DeAndre Ayton and his development, it's obvious that he's getting more professional. He's getting better. He's getting more consistent. But when I listen to him talk, he seems more mature. I know we've hinted about this in the past, but do you see the difference in DeAndre Ayton in regard to how he's speaking and some of the thoughts he's having and being more mature?
Absolutely. And look, I mean, when you consider now, Wolf, that he has had a chance to work with his same coaching staff, you know, consistently now, and first and foremost, you begin with Monty and then Mark Bryant. I can't, and EJ and I have said it on the telecast, but, you know, I just don't know that people really understand and appreciate the level of just experience and professionalism that Mark brings to his job and what he has done with the growth physically and mentally of DeAndre Ayton. You know,
yeah,
it's both been, you know, tough love at times, and I've witnessed it because when Mark played in the NBA, you know, he wasn't a genetic freak the way DeAndre Ayton is.
Yeah.
And you know, Mark earned everything he got just because of he took the blue collar mentality, and that's what he has really tried to instill in DA. But he's had a chance to be around the same coaching staff, and my goodness, when you consider now a chance to, you know, to be coached and just listen and immerse yourself in the basketball dictionary that is Chris Paul and Devin Booker and Jay Crowder. I mean, unless he's just got his ears plugged with his fingers, you couldn't help but get better mentally and physically. And I think that's what we've seen.
Talking to Kevin Ray, it is game day with K-Ray. K-Ray, you know, you lose Devin Booker here. We don't know exactly how long. It doesn't sound like it's too major. I would assume they're going to be pretty careful with it, considering they have bigger picture plans than just winning games early in December. The Suns have depth. It's going to be tested a little bit. How do you see them attempting to replace Devin Booker's production here?
Yeah, it will certainly have to be by committee because of everything that Book brought to the floor. I think, you know, without a doubt, what they are going to miss most is, you know, like Chris, you know, he's just an assassin in the mid-range. Now, Mikhail has made major strides in that, and we have begun to see the emergence of that with Cam Johnson. Is something that EJ, I know, has pounded the table about more and more with Cam Johnson, you know, like a Mikhail Bridges, saying, you know, people know you're a good three-point shooter, so now you have to really make them pay. You know, ball fake, put the ball on the floor, drive in, and take the high percentage for the Suns, you know, not according to all the basketball analytics folks, but for the Suns, take that high percentage, 15, you know, to 16-footer, and Cam has the capability of doing that. So it's going to have to be by committee, but you said it. You know, the Suns are blessed with some depth, and they've got guys who, you know, we saw them step up the other night in a serious way in a major game. So that that to me shows promising signs.
Okay, you're around this team all the time. How much do you think the 17-game win streak has – how much do you think that's part of the culture of what the Suns are all about? How much do you think they're actually talking about that?
You know, it's funny, Wolf, because, you know, we, you know, as broadcasters and analysts and certainly as fans, we are caught up in it. And, they would be lying if they said they're not aware of it.
Right.
But they don't and haven't really focused on that. And I keep going back to, you know, to those seeds that Monty planted in the bubble, which was we don't have to win 8 straight games. We have to win one game 8 times.
Yeah.
And I really do feel like that this team, even though Chris Paul wasn't a part of that, but I really do feel like this team has carried that mantra, you know, forward with them in this. They have, you know, enjoyed all the hoopla and the fans getting into it. And like I say, they're aware of it, but it's not something that's discussed on a daily basis. You know, their approach is, yeah, we had a great game. We beat a tough opponent the other night in the Warriors, and it just happened to be the 17th straight time that we got, you know, a victory. And now we've got to focus on the Detroit Pistons, you know, and roll our sleeves up and see if we can get that win, which, oh, by the way, would be an 18th straight.
Kevin Ray joining us. It is game day. K-Ray, going back to that game against the Warriors, because it was such a big game in terms of regular season games, Steph Curry going 4-for-21, I think the initial reaction everybody has is, okay, they're playing again on Friday, he's not going to do that again. And I agree. I mean, he's the best shooter I've ever seen. But how much of that, in your mind, was not just him having a bad night, because he doesn't typically have bad nights, how much of that was the Suns' defense?
Well, look, yeah, and you're right. You know, yes, it was an aberration because Steph just doesn't do that. But having said that, I'll put the asterisk next to the word aberration because it was an aberration because he has not faced a suffocating defense the way he did the other night, led by, you know, the warden, Mikal Bridges. You know, and I'll give props to my son, Zachary. I think he's the one that coined it. He put him in McAlcatraz.
Oh, I love that. That's good.
You know, the length that Mikal has, and you watch Mikal play defense, and I really do think that Mikal, because he's really been inspired by his teammates, you know, because you heard Book say last week, you know, they're shouting first team all defense when he was absolutely locking up James Harden, you know, to the tune of 8 turnovers the other night. But I really feel like Mikal is just absolutely inspired and motivated by that. But you watch him play defense, man, and it is as impressive a thing as you will find. And yes, he only had 2 points the other night, but even Screamin' A. Smith, you know, who we all just love and adore, even he acknowledged that might have been the most impactful 2 points that he's ever seen a player get because of all the energy that Mikal expended defensively against Steph the other night.
McAlcatraz, that's great.
That is. That's really, really good. Thank you, Kay. Appreciate your time, buddy.
Thanks a lot, Kevin.
You got it, boys.
That's Kevin Ray joining us. Kevin Ray, of course, of Bally Sports. Game day with Kay Ray, and he's called in on the 72 Sold Sports line. Get your price at 72sold.com. All right, when we come back, the Bears have been struggling, but they're actually not out of it in the NFC just yet. So what exactly does Chicago do well, and who's the better quarterback matchup for the Cardinals on Sunday? Andy Dalton or Justin Fields? That's next. It is the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.